John says this in chapter 15, beginning at verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you my friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is God's holy and infallible word. The text that we're going to be looking at will be mostly verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Beloved in the Lord, there's a book by the name of The Preaching Event by an author who tells a story about identical twins. And that story gives light on the passage that we're going to look at. These twins lived and their lives were inseparably intertwined. From the first day, they were dressed alike. They went to the same schools. They did the same things. In fact, they were so close that neither of them married, but they came back and took over the running of the family business when their father died. And their relationship with each other was pointed to by many as a model of creative collaboration. But one morning, a customer came into the store and made a small purchase. The brother who waited on him put the dollar bill from that purchase on top of the cash register and walked to the front door with the man. Sometime later, he remembered what he had done, and when he came to the cash register, the dollar bill was gone. He asked his brother if he had seen the dollar bill and put it in the register, and the brother replied that he knew nothing of the bill in question. "That's funny," said the brother. "I distinctly remember placing the bill here on the register, and no one else has been in the store since then." Had the matter been dropped at that point, a mystery involving a tiny amount of money, nothing would have come with it. However, about an hour later, this time with a noticeable hint of suspicion in his voice, the brother asked again, "Are you sure you didn't see the dollar bill and put it into the register?" The other brother was quick to catch the note of accusation and flared back in defensive anger. That was the beginning of the first serious breach of trust that ever became that ever came between these two. And it grew wider and wider. Every time they tried to discuss the issue, new charges and countercharges got mixed up into the brew until finally things got so bad they were forced to dissolve their partnership. They ran a partition down the middle of their father's store and took what had once been a harmonious partnership into an angry competition. In fact, the business became a source of division in the entire community, each twin trying to enlist allies for himself against the other. Can you imagine going to McDonald's? Oh, there they are, talking over the problems. One brother and then another brother, and that warfare went on, the story says, for more than 20 years. But then one morning, an out-of-state car came with an out-of-state license plate parked in front of the store, and a well-dressed man came in. And he went into one of the sides. Remember, the place was cut down the middle. And he inquired how long the merchant had been in business in that location. When the man learned that it was more than 20 years, the stranger said, "Then you're the one that I must settle with an old score. Some 20 years ago," he said, "I was out of work, drifting from place to place, and I happened to get off a boxcar in your town." Guess that's how you traveled back in those days, hopping a freight. I had absolutely no money and had not eaten for 3 days. As I walked down the alley behind your store, I looked in and saw a dollar bill on the top of the cash register. Everyone else was in the front of the store. Now, I had been raised a Christian in a Christian home, and I had never before in all of my life stolen anything. But that morning, I was so hungry, I gave in to the temptation, slipped through the door, and I grabbed that dollar bill. That act has weighed on my conscience ever since, and I finally decided that I would never be at peace until I came back and faced up to that old sin and made amends. Would you let me now replace that money and pay you whatever is appropriate for the damages? The stranger was surprised to see the old man shaking his head in dismay and beginning to weep. When the brother had gotten control of himself, he took the stranger by the arm and said, I want you to go next door and repeat the same story that you just told me. The stranger did, and only this time there were two old men who looked remarkably alike, both weeping uncontrollably. From that story, we learn several things and several lessons, including how mistrust can poison a relationship and how a friendship can be destroyed by supposition and suppositions that have no fact at all in them. And that can be true of Christians. Many of us know Christians who have not spoken in love to others for years. How sad. And that's what this story illustrates. Our text in John 15 focuses on friendship and love. Love that is to exist between members of Christ's church, believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, the entire 15th chapter of John is concerned with believers' relationships. It's concerned about our relationships one with another, and friendship and love must exist among believers. And when it speaks of friendship, we know what a friend is. Everyone has friends. We went to school and we had friends in school. Our children had friends in school. And we value our friendships one with another. Jesus now speaks to his disciples. He's about ready to leave them. And he says to them, "You are my friends." He uses a term that we can all understand clearly. And he uses that term to describe the friendships that we are to have one with another. And in this passage, he tells us that he wants that friendship to be governed by what? Love. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That friendship is to be governed by a love that is so great. It is to be equated with the love of Jesus Christ. And that love was a love of sacrifice, was it not? Did Jesus not sacrifice all to come to this world to be like us, to become human, so that he might die in our place? His love was the love of sacrifice. It was not necessary, outside of God's grace, for Jesus to come into this world. It was God's requirement and God's choice alone. There was nothing in this world that required it other than our sin that needed to be paid for. And so Jesus came into this world, but he came as a sacrifice, and he demonstrated that sacrifice through his love for us. Think of those words, and I hope those words alone that are in this verse will stand out to you and remain with you, that you'll think about them. As I have loved you. That's the highest standard that there could be. The standard of the highest love that there could be. The love of Jesus Christ. And we see that all throughout the scripture, where his love is demonstrated in so many, many ways. But most of all in his going to the cross to bear our sins and to come under the condemnation of God, that we might be forgiven. And here John says, in the words of Jesus, love as I have loved you. Love with the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Love with the love that will lay down your life for others as Jesus did for us. I'm reminded of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. He speaks there about love, doesn't he? What does he say? Without love, I am like sounding brass. It's just so necessary that we love one another. And we need to love one another because all of us are like those brothers, full of tempers, sharp and cross, snappish, ill-natured with our tongue. We exhibit things that should not be exhibited when we do things that we should not do. The crossness, the spitefulness, the jealousy, the maliciousness, and the disagreement of many who profess sound doctrine is a positive scandal to Christianity. In fact, one author said, where there is little love, there can be little grace. Sacrificial love, sacrificing ourselves, giving ourselves as Jesus gave himself. That is how we are to love one another. There should never be a situation like those two brothers that we hear about in that story who don't talk to one another or who speak to one another in the way that they did. But they should love one another. I think that was the end of the story, of course. They learned that. That's the sacrificial love that we are to have one to another. And Christ commands it. Notice he says, this is my commandment. He commands us to love one another. And a command is to be obeyed. He has commanded us what we are to do. We are to do the things that are pleasing to Christ. And what pleases him is our love and our obedience, even more so than our keeping of the Ten Commandments. Jesus has commanded that we are to love one another and do it continuously, not just when it suits us, but we are to love with the kind of love that he has demonstrated, and we are to love all, and we are to yield ourselves in body and soul, in heart and mind, to put ourselves at the disposal of Jesus and to love others as he has commanded us. He tells us about this further in verses 14 and 15 as he calls us his friends. And what are friends? Well, verses 14 and 15, friends are those who share the same outlook. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus is describing here the aims of our heart, the friendship of our soul. We are called to be friends of Christ. What a glorious privilege it is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls us to be his friends. We would not be afraid to pour out our hearts in prayer, would we, to the one who calls us a friend? The Lord of heaven will not forsake his friends. He has promised us that, and here he commands us, ask whatever you want from the Father, and he will do it. The King of Kings calls us his friends. We should not be afraid to pray, to rest in him, to share with him in our personal lives all that is needed to serve him. And he demonstrated that love for us, did he not? By sharing the will of the Father with us and by doing the will of the Father. So now he calls us to love one another, to share in each other's lives. We have been elected to the glorious privilege of sonship. We belong to the King. And because we belong to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ is now at work in our hearts and in our lives. He continues his work of grace. He hasn't finished with us, no. He has elected us to be sanctified, as the latter part of this passage says, to do what? To bear fruit. He is going to continue his work in us so that we will bear fruit, that is, demonstrate the glory of his gospel in our lives, and we are to bear that fruit for his kingdom. This command appears over and over in Scripture. It's a repeated theme in this passage and in other passages as well. The promotion of others is the primary concern. Jesus reminds us of the fact that that belongs to us as a part of our election to grace. We stand in union with him by grace. It's not by what we have done that made us a part of the kingdom of God. It's what God has done. And ultimately, that should be an encouragement to us in mission. It's not because we are attractive or skilled and that we have the best plan that's available. No, we are summoned and we are sent to do what? To promote others, to love them, to serve them, and to be their friends. And friends rejoice in others' successes. Remember the story of Jonathan and David, how close they were. They were close friends, committed to one another, and Jonathan served David, though Jonathan himself would have been the king had the plan gone differently. But God elected David to be king. Jonathan loved him so much, he served him, and we should be servants of those who are a part of the family of God, committed to fulfill our calling to befriend them, to pray for them, to encourage them, to love them, as Jesus says in this passage. Remember, he said, love as I have loved you. If you abide in Jesus, you will love one another, and you will love even the unlovely. We will have loving relationships with one another, and as you draw upon Christ, we will love the members of the church, and when our relationship with God is what it ought to be, then we will be surprised at how remarkably loving we can be. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. May the Lord place that thought, that word, in our hearts today, that we might think on it, that we may rest in it, and that we may live it for his glory. Amen.